But today I want to take you into something else. And I want to show you something that causes you to remain tied to someone that you maybe don't realize. There's something that will cause a tie between you and another person when you haven't seen them possibly in years. It's called unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness toward anyone, you're tied to them. And you can pray the prayers all you want to, but until you deal with the forgiveness issue, you can't fully break free. And see, I know in my heart what the Lord is showing me, that some of you right now are thinking, yeah, but I forgave them. Some of you in this room think you have forgiven people, but you have not forgiven people. And you're still tied to them. Unless you deal with unforgiveness, you can't fully be free. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about breaking free and coming out of unforgiveness. You have to understand that soul ties are formed with anyone that's caused you to experience emotion. Any place in your life that's been a season where there was great emotion for you, and someone caused great emotion in you, that's where you develop a tie with that person. And it has to be broken, as we shared last time we spoke. But there are many people who think they've forgiven people and they haven't. And I want you to know something. I'm going to teach you what the Bible says about forgiveness, and it's very scary and very sobering. But there are a lot of people who think that they've forgiven. But here's the thing. Your emotions and your tongue both reveal whether you've forgiven someone or not. Please hear me. Your emotions and your tongue. Well, Lord, is there anybody you need me to forgive? Your emotions and your tongue will tell me. How do you react when their name is mentioned? If when someone brings up their name, you have emotion, you are in unforgiveness. If I say their name and what comes out of your mouth is something negative, you are in unforgiveness. And you're not walking in forgiveness until you don't feel that feeling anymore. And you don't have that negative statement to make about them anymore. I'm telling you what the Lord is saying. If there's anyone in your life that when you think about them, see them, or someone mentions them, something sharp comes from your tongue, or some kind of anger emotion or hurt emotion rises up in you, you haven't forgiven them. You'll know you've forgiven when their name can be mentioned and you think thoughts of kindness toward them. When it no longer is like a dagger going on the inside of you. And I'm telling you, as sure as I know my name, you'll miss this message and miss the weight of it. But the Lord has told me there are people's lives who can be permanently transformed this day from this message. If you'll take the soul tie, now go deal with the forgiveness issue, and you'll hear this. And you'll let the Holy Spirit show you who you need to forgive. But I'm telling you now, when their name's mentioned, you're not walking in forgiveness. And let me tell you, before I get to the end, I was going to do this at the end, but I'm going to tell you now. Just like soul ties, what I tell you you have to do, you have to say it. You have to say, I break the tie. You have to say out your mouth. It's not enough to think it. It's not enough for the Holy Spirit to let you know it. You need to say, as the Lord begins to show you over this week, say it out loud. I forgive. Boom. If you want to be free, just like with soul ties, you have to say out your mouth, I forgive. And I'm giving you a clue before I show you what the Word says. If it's emotion, the tongue and the emotions reveal where you still need to release that person. So let's move quickly into some understanding. I'm convinced that the Lord said people could leave here today completely free. Because unforgiveness is a dangerous thing. Unforgiveness will send you to hell while you come to church on Sunday morning and worship. Yeah. Unforgiveness will cause you to be the person that stands before Him and says, Lord, didn't we worship every Sunday? And He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Unforgiveness is dangerous. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, He's talking about prayer. And Apostle John, he talked about this some. But Jesus teaches how to pray. Now, they're wanting to know how to pray. Most people want to know how to pray because they want to get something. Hello? He says, well, then pray in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the midst of that, he prays this. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. You better hear that. We've been praying this since Sunday school. Do you hear what you just asked him? You said, Lord, I want you to forgive my debts in the same capacity that I forgive others their debts. That's what you prayed. You told him then to treat you exactly like you treat them. Forgive me my debts, how? Exactly like I forgive theirs. Scary. In other words, you have told him, hey Lord, if I don't forgive them, don't forgive me. That's what that prayer said. Now I lay me down to sleep. Oh, wrong prayer. He said, forgive us our debts. How? As we forgive others. So forgive us, Lord, like we forgive them. That's what we're praying. Let what we do for them be what you do for us, Lord. Let what we do for them be what you do for us, Lord. All you bird flyers out there. Are you hearing? Are you seeing? Now listen what Jesus said. Matthew 6:14. Listen to what Jesus said. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. My Lord in heaven. My God. Could it be that we're worshiping, fasting, praying, and still sinners, and still unforgiven? Because he made it clear, it's in red. If you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. So that means then, unforgiveness takes you out of right standing with God. You are the righteousness of God in him. You're in right standing with him. But if you have unforgiveness in your heart toward anyone, you're no longer in right standing with him because he's not hearing you anymore. It's a dangerous thing. Hear me today. If you want to be free, if you want your life to change drastically and the rest of this year to be heaven on earth, forgive him. Because he made it clear. Number one, unforgiveness keeps you out of right relationship with God. Because he said, if you don't forgive them, I don't forgive you. Scary stuff. Do you hear it? He said, if you don't forgive them, I won't forgive you. Now look at this. In the Amplified Version, it says this. For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins. We're talking about forgiving somebody here who's doing mean to you and knows it. And he said, if you don't forgive them, even though they know what they're doing to you, then I'm not going to forgive you. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you, but if you do not forgive others, now here it is, have you forgiven them? Here's the definition of unforgiveness: nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that interferes with your relationship with God. Nurturing. Nurturing. What you feed lives. What you quit feeding dies. And see, with unforgiveness, it's usually a place that we keep nurturing it. We keep feeding it. We keep bringing up their name every time we get in a circle. We keep fishing for someone else to talk bad about them just like we do, so it makes us feel good. We keep nurturing this place of unforgiveness. The Lord has sent me to tell you today, quit feeding it and let it die. Quit rehearsing it every time you get in a circle. Some people, you think you're in forgiveness, but you're not. You know how I know? Because if I spend 5 minutes with you, you're talking about that person. And guess what? It's just like it happened yesterday. I run into some people that are just as angry, and they're still crying even. Sir, when did it happen? 15 years ago. You're bonded to that person. You haven't let that person go. You're tied to that person. If the emotion in you is that strong, you're not free. You're not in forgiveness. Are you hearing me? Some people will cry, get angry, cuss. 15 years ago. Nurturing your hurt. Are you nurturing your hurt? Or are you going to starve it to death this morning? This is your time. The ball's in your court. Today is the day that you need to quit feeding and quit nurturing. And say, I will feed this not another day in my life. And when someone brings up their name, shut your mouth. Quit nurturing. Oh, I hear you, Jesus, right now as plain as day. Yeah, I do hear you. Some of you haven't forgiven yourself. You screwed up, sir. You screwed up, ma'am. And when you share it right now, 15 years later or 10 years later, you have the same emotion about it. You're shameful. You hold your head down when you talk about it. God, Jesus is in here. Revelation's in here, people. One of the first people you need to forgive is you. And if it's still bringing, if your mistakes are still bringing the same emotion in you, you've not forgiven you. Oh my God. Oh Lord, what revelation. If we take Jesus' prayer, what it said then, if you don't forgive you, I won't forgive you. My God, people, you better get a hold of that. If you don't forgive you, I don't forgive you. That's deep, heavy stuff right there. What is it that still brings a feeling of shame to you, sir? What screw up is it in your life? As I get healing myself standing here. What to this day brings out the same emotion in you where you messed up? You're not free. You haven't forgiven you. And if you don't forgive you, it's hindering you being right in right standing with God. He's called you. He's been telling you for 2 or 3 years, some of you, since you started coming to this house, I've got my hand on you. I've got more for you to do. But every time he does, you bring up what you did 10 years ago. And he can't get you in the right standing to release you into your calling and purpose because you haven't forgiven you. I wish I was preaching this. Not forgiving others is to nurture your hurt and anger. And it says, with the result that interferes with your relationship with God. It will interfere with your relationship with God. Now listen what forgive means. Forgive means to liberate a person from their guilt. Forgive means to set a person free. So if I need to set them free, then that means if I'm in unforgiveness, Rog, don't take nothing personal, man. I won't hold on as long this time. But if I need to set them free, it means I'm connected to them. So then I'm still connected to anyone that I have unforgiveness toward. But what forgiveness means is I now set Roger free and loose him from any responsibility for what happened. I loose him. Forgive means loose, set free. I loose them from the penalty of what they did to me. Unforgiveness is you still making them want to pay for what they did. If you still want somebody to pay, when I talk to you, if what comes out of your mouth is something vile, husbands and wives, if you rehearse to me, when I talk to you about someone, well, they're going to get theirs. You're going to hell, probably, according to the Word. Whew, man, I'm about to get convicted and hit the door, hit the floor myself. So to forgive means to liberate a person from their guilt. It does not mean they're not guilty. It means that you choose to no longer consider them guilty. Lord have mercy, you better hear me. They're guilty as a rascal. But you just choose to no longer consider them guilty. If you're still considering them guilty. Oh, God, we got to run, got to go. They're guilty, but we don't make them pay the price. Unforgiveness is revealed in the fact that you want to make them pay. You're going to get yours. Another thing that drives me flipping nuts is when I hear Christians running around saying karma. You need to get saved. Don't bring no new age mess into the house of God. I see all over Facebook, karma this and karma that. Get saved. Quit dibble dabbling in the world, a new age mess. Karma ain't in the Word of God. Sowing and reaping is in the Word of God, but karma's not. Bad karma's affecting me. Well, then you ought to get on your face before God and live in the presence of the Lord and abide under the shadow of the Almighty where karma can't come. If you're wanting to someone to pay, you're not in walking in forgiveness. And then that means you're not walking in right relationship with God. Now listen to this. He said, forgive us our debts. Debt is a trespass which makes reparation an obligation. In other words, they're required to pay something back. That's a debt. But forgiveness is freeing them from their obligation and freeing them from their debt. You don't make them pay. Their debt is paid. I said their debt is paid. I said their debt is paid. I said their debt is paid. Jesus paid yours. He paid the penalty and settled the debt for your sin. Oh God, I gotta move. I need to stick with my scriptures. I want to tell you before I get there. So now you want to make them pay debt. You release them from their obligation. That's forgiveness. And if you're still wanting to make them pay, you're not in forgiveness. Now look at this. 1 Corinthians 13. What's 1 Corinthians 13 about? Really? In verse 4 of chapter 13, look what it says. Love is patient, love is kind, and love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Listen to me. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. You know what the NIV says? Oh, I feel Jesus all over this room. Love keeps no record of wrong. It destroys the evidence. And see, you're not in forgiveness if you can pull out a list a mile long. Well, he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this, and he did this. You're not in forgiveness because you're keeping a record. And if you're keeping a record, if you can tell me right now, if you can rehearse to me 14 things that the person did in your life, you're walking in unforgiveness and your relationship to God's been hindered and you got to be free. Keeps no record, husband and wife. There's a little book somewhere. Because when you get into a fight and you get them stirred up, you did this and you did this, and 800 years ago you did this, and 48 years ago you did this, and 5 minutes ago you did this. You're keeping a record, and the blessing of the Lord can't come on your house. You know what marriage will teach you? Oh, I felt the Lord on this all over me yesterday. You know what marriage is? Do you know the difference between divorce and not divorce? Debt paid in full. I choose to keep no record. Do you know what makes a strong church? I choose to keep no record. I feel the Lord. So every time I look at you, there's a clean slate. Every time I spend time with you, you start out with a brand new, fresh slate. Because I don't have any record. I'm not keeping record. Man, oh man. You're learning anything? It keeps no record of wrong. If you're keeping a record of a person's wrong, then you're in forgiveness. Forgiveness is keeping no record. Now I want to show you some more things about unforgiveness. 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. I thought that just meant being Southern West Virginia boy there. Well, you bring it on. You insult me, I'm going to insult you. You kill my dog, I'm going to kill yours and your cat. Because after all, it's in my blood. While I go to hell. All rednecks shall have their part in the lake of fire. Oh my God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. He said, do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. Really? You really want me to bless somebody? I'll bless them with a brick. I'll bless them out. No, he said, if you want to walk, if you want my blessing, when they insult you, you bless them. Who you carrying around? Boy, I can go back years. I started to do it. If I could have found me some kind of a mummy or something to put on my back. I watched a fiery evangelist preach, Dwight Thompson, I believe it was, who walked around the stage with a body on his back, and he walked all around. Unforgiveness, carrying that person around. You can leave free today. You can have more freedom in the year 2017 than you've ever had if you'll give forgiveness, if you'll release them from their debt. And to think about this, the struggle here is you keep people in your life you don't even like when you do this. You don't like them. And you don't realize you're keeping them in your life because you won't forgive them and release them from their debt. If you'll release them from their debt, you don't have to think about them no more. But you keep thinking about them because you've not released them. And you don't even like them. I got news for you. I'm not a genius. But I'm smart enough to know I don't hang around people I don't like. I don't call up and say, hey, come and have a cookout with me when I don't like you. But when you walk in unforgiveness, you're keeping them in your life. You, when you raise your hands to praise the Lord, you got them with you. When you get down on your knees to pray, you took them with you. You better hear what I'm saying to you. When you enter the presence of the Lord, you're taking them with you. What you should do is bring them into the presence of the Lord and leave them there and walk out without them and be free and set them free. Man, I'm preaching myself happy this morning. Return evil for evil. Now, what I need you to see then is this. Unforgiveness keeps you from the blessing of the Lord. praying for the Lord to bless you with a new job, new car, new house, it hinders the blessing. It said, don't return evil for evil, but give a blessing instead. Why? Read the rest of it. So that you can inherit a blessing. If you return evil for evil, insult for insult, you're stopping the flow of blessing in your life. But if you bless them when they curse you, you're releasing an inherited blessing in your life. Do you want blessed? Then just start blessing people who don't like you. Wow. An inherited blessing. You knock your unforgiveness, you knock yourself out of your inheritance. Man. Move, move, move. Next, Mark 11:22. And Jesus answered and said, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, all of us Haganites, we know this. Glory to God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. My God, everybody gets excited about that. Papa Hagen taught us. And I just never called that day. I told you the NASB was the best scripture. You were reading the King James. But the NASB, which is the more accurate, says, when you pray, you have already received them. See, one of the problems here with prayer is you keep asking God to do stuff for you instead of believing He's already done them for you. That's what got Kenneth Hagin up out of his bed. There's a scripture hit him one day. And he said, oh my, it says I receive it right when I pray. The next morning he got up and went to breakfast. Slowly and feebly, but he went because he saw I've already received it. But right in the midst of this scripture, which we love to talk about how we can get a Rolls Royce and stuff on, cast that mountain away. Look what it says right in the midst of it. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you ask and pray, believe that you receive them and they shall be granted you. But whenever you stand praying, forgive. Unforgiveness nullifies every bit of that scripture that we quote about casting the mountain into the sea. He said, I'll give you anything you ask if you have faith, but when you stand praying, you better forgive. Because if you're in unforgiveness, it hinders the prayer being answered. You cannot get an answer to prayer when you're in unforgiveness. Some of you need to forgive ex-husbands and ex-wives in here. I mean, the Lord spoke to me about it all morning. You need to forgive them. You need to let it rest. As a matter of fact, you took what you think about your ex-husband and ex-wife and portrayed it on all women or all men. And now you can't even get a godly relationship because you're too busy walking in unforgiveness, and you've projected what that previous spouse did onto every woman and onto every man. So when you sit down and have the first date from farmersonly.com, you don't have to be lonely. It's good. What in the world am I talking about? No, here you go. You called farmersonly.com, sitting down, eating your steak, and not 5 minutes into the conversation, they say one thing. And it sounded a little bit like your ex-husband, who you have called all men now. You believe all men are that way. It's over. You can't have a relationship. And the real issue is you haven't forgiven Bubba. Yeah. You better be funny if you preach tough messages. That's all I can say. The title of today's message is Forgive Bubba. I know he shot the jukebox, but forgive him. I can sing that one for you if you want me to. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Ashley does, though. Correct? You don't? I know a song you don't know? See me after church. Oh, got to move. Do you understand that it said your prayers won't work? He said when you stand praying the prayer of faith, when you're you better hear me. Some of the people in this room, you've been trying to command a mountain to leave your life. You've been speaking to it, yelling at it, but you don't have forgiveness. This says if you want to speak to the mountain and have it move, you must first, while you're standing there commanding it to move, get in forgiveness. While you're standing commanding, forgive, Jesus said. You ever command a mountain, it seems to get bigger? Maybe you're in unforgiveness. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, this is not talking about your singing gift, it is talking about money. You can bring some there now to the altar now if you want to. Therefore, I forgot to take up offering. Sean and Amy, they'll beat me. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remembers that your brother has aught against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then bring your gift. Unforgiveness blocks finances. Unforgiveness blocks finances. Stops the flow. Colossians 3:12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you. Forgive each other, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Faith worketh by love. If you're in unforgiveness, you're not walking in love, and your faith cannot work. I don't care how much you quote scripture, you got to get rid of the unforgiveness for the faith to work, because faith works by love. Man, we might get all kinds of stuff done here. If this message sinks in, we might act like Christians. So, that's not my whole point. See, I skipped ahead on you. It goes through all this thing about forgiveness, and then it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Unforgiveness keeps you from walking in peace. Some of you can't find an ounce of peace, but you're in unforgiveness. Unless you get in forgiveness, you can't walk in peace. You got to let the forgiveness. Are you hearing me? If you walk in unforgiveness, you won't have peace. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's the faith by love. So faith does not work if you're in unforgiveness. Ephesians 4:29-32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How? Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Unforgiveness stops the anointing. Grieves the Holy Spirit. You come into some churches and you can't squeeze out an ounce of anointing no matter what you do, because the worship team hates each other. Can't stand each other. They're standing there saying, she sung my song. Look at her. She thinks she's something on a stick. She thinks she's all that in a bag of chips. And the anointing sucks out of the room because it grieves the Holy Spirit. You know why there's such a presence of the Lord in here? There's a unity in here. But see, if you get out of that, you better hear me. I don't care if you like the decisions that go on around here or not. Just take it before the Lord and leave it there. Because if you start flapping that jaw, the anointing will go, it'll suck it right out of here. We can't afford to walk in unforgiveness. We can't afford to let anything break down the unity. You're not going to get your way all the time. But love your church and love the vision enough to go with the flow, whether you get your way or not. And let me tell you something else. If God actually told you, which is that's what we often say, we know what God's will is. Well, don't you think he's big enough to get it done without you falling out with everybody and getting into a wrong spirit and sucking out the anointing? If he told you, I believe he's good enough to get it done. He don't need you to get out of right relationship to get it done. Because it takes out, it stifles the anointing, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Having fun yet? Now, in this portion of Scripture, we also see something else. See, I done made them mad, they're leaving. This is not true. They told me they had to go, so don't anybody read into it. They love us. We love y'all. On the way out the door. You notice that was perfect timing. Oh, God, I got to move and finish. I want to give you a key now, just a couple keys to walking in forgiveness. This scripture told us this. It said, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Here's the key to forgiveness. Understanding we have been forgiven is a key to forgiving others. Whether you realize it or not, you forget that he forgave you. You forget that your sin was just different than their sin. He forgave you. There but for the grace of God go I. If you're struggling with forgiving somebody, then start to look at how he's forgiven you. Start to look at the mess you were when he found you. And then you'll have compassion on them in the middle of their mess and you'll love them. A major key is realizing he's forgiven you. I'm not going to read this big long scripture. You go read it yourself. In Matthew 18, 22 through 35, I want you to read that this week. And what it's about is a person had a debt. And their Lord forgave them of the debt, and then they went straight from that place and found someone who owed them and threatened to throw them in prison and everything. What had they forgotten? The key to forgiveness is you realizing that he forgave you. But this person in this parable, even though that they had just completely gotten all their debts wiped away, they went out and held somebody else to a standard and forced them to pay when God hadn't caused them to pay. The key to forgiveness is understanding that you've been forgiven. Give the same grace to them that God gave to you. Have you ever messed up and someone gave you grace? I'm talking about with relationships. Then why don't you do that for someone else? Why are you holding them to a standard that someone didn't hold you to? And they said, all right, man, I know you blew it, but I love you. The relationship is more important than your nonsense. Pass it on. That's a major key to walking in forgiveness. You better hear me. Anybody ever been tormented? Just harassed and tormented? Raise your hands if you've been tormented. Not saying this is true, but it might be. Nah, I can't do it. Yeah, I'm going to have to go. You're going to have to read that. But in the end of that scripture, it says this. I forgave you of your debt. Because you desirest me. Should you have not forgiven and had compassion on your fellow servant also? His Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Unforgiveness opens the door for tormenting spirits to begin to attack your life. You better hear what I'm saying. Unforgiveness is dangerous. It opens the door to the spirit realm and demonic spirits to begin to attack your life. You cannot afford to be in unforgiveness because it's unforgiveness today and tomorrow it's all kinds of mess because you're opening yourself up for spirits to attack you. Unforgiveness brings death. Unforgiveness brings cancer. Unforgiveness brings infirmity and sickness. You cannot afford to have it. You have to understand about the demonic realm is just like buzzards. You ever notice when a dog's laying in the middle of the road, you look up and all these are swarming? What are they swarming for? They're looking for something to come and get. Unforgiveness in your life, the buzzards are a type of the demonic spirits. and they're looking for something to come and begin to feast on in your life. And if they can find unforgiveness, they will swoop in on you and begin to enter your life through that door of unforgiveness. They can smell it. They're attracted to it. They know they can destroy your life and your gift and your calling unless you get rid of that unforgiveness. The buzzards are looking for unforgiveness in you. They like stuff that stinks, and unforgiveness stinks. You open yourself up to tormentors and demonic spirits when you do this. The key to forgiveness is realizing that He forgave you. And I want to share the last thing with you. You know, it's not always easy to forgive people. But one phrase Jesus said always comes back to me. And it causes me every time to have grace. That I'm looking at people, that people in this room, that people hurt you. Yes, they did it. But we've already learned that the key is releasing them from the debt. But you know, one thing that helps me do that is Jesus prayed a prayer. He prayed it in Luke 23:33. Do you understand that Jesus was hanging on? You been crucified yet? Have you had anybody literally take you out, drive nails in your hands and feet, put stripes on your back? You haven't, had you? Well, that's happened to Jesus. You know what He said? Forgive them. Why? They know not what they do. If you want help with forgiving people, you can get. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in here right now. You can let them go today. There are people in here. Your parents abused you, but your parents were abused. They know not what they did. One of the major keys of forgiving somebody is to realize, I can give you grace if I know you didn't know what you were doing. You didn't understand. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Many times we come into relationships, we get married to people, we come into friendships where they've been wounded and they're just modeling what they've seen. I'm telling you, there's forgiveness in this room. You can be free in this room today if you'll think of somebody and if you can put it in the context of, oh, I see. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't mean to do it. They didn't know. Forgiveness will come into your heart and you can lose that person. You can have grace for them if you realize they really didn't know what they were doing. Father, I bless you. Lord, all over this room, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. Lord, we want to be a people that are free. I just ask, Lord, that you would just show us who we need to forgive. And again, it's important that you say that out loud. But there's some things the Lord spoke to me this morning, I believe. Number one, I said earlier, some people need to forgive previous spouses. You thought you had forgiven them, but your emotions and your words say you haven't. Then I also felt the Lord said there's people in this room that need to forgive the person who abused you. Now, folks, I sit around with people who go through the questionnaire that we have. Sometimes they've been sexually abused. And that is such a thing that it's very hard to even bring yourself to the point of saying out your mouth, I forgive them. But I watch the greatest release happen in people when they say, I forgive for sexually abusing me. Do you want to be free? There are men in this room that sexual abuse happened to you, and you've convinced yourself for 30 years that it wasn't sexual abuse because that's the way you deal with it. But it was, sir. And what the Lord is wanting you to do is say, I forgive blank for sexually abusing me. Rape. There are people in this room that have been raped. I forgive. That's tough stuff, folks. It takes every fiber in your being to be able to say that. And you know that the enemy's using it, because when you get ready to say it, it's like there's this tight. tightness and this pressure on the inside of you, and you're like, I can't. Oh God, I don't want to say that. Nothing in me wants to say that. Say it, sir. Say it, ma'am. I forgive that person, and say their name that abused me, even sexually abused me. Another one the Lord brought to my attention was parents. Parents are trying to do this thing the best that they can. And many times parents, I feel the Lord. Parents are only raising you the way they were raised. Cancel their debt today. Wipe the slate clean. Say out your mouth, I forgive you, Dad, for doing this. You cannot. Please hear me. I feel the Holy Spirit in here. I forgive you, Dad, for doing, boom, whatever it is you're holding. I forgive you, Mom. I realize you really didn't know what you were doing. I felt the Lord speak to me about teachers humiliating. Somebody, a teacher in a classroom or a person in authority humiliating you in front of the class. Or humiliating you in front of your peers, a boss or something like that. Somebody in authority humiliating you. You need to forgive them. I'm asking you not to miss this moment. I'm asking you don't just take this as a message. I'm asking you to go into this week and say out your mouth and let the Holy Spirit show you. I'm asking you in your devotional time to say, Lord, show me anybody that I need to say out my mouth. I forgive you. And I believe there are some that have been abused by those in authority and embarrassed. I also believe, and I felt I heard the Lord say, some of you need to forgive God. And one of the issues was premature death of a loved one. You need to say it. You need to say, I forgive you, God. I forgive you, God, because whether I wanted to or not, I kind of blamed you. Whew. Somebody needs to say, I forgive you, Dad, for not being a good dad to me. You weren't faithful. You never supported anything I did. I forgive you. I'm going to ask you as you go on throughout your week to continue to allow the Lord to show you if you want to be free. I've had such a burden on me about this message because I don't want you to miss it. I'm telling you, the rest of you, starting now for the rest of your life, can be the most incredible time of your life if you won't just take this as a Sunday morning time that you had and a nice little message. If you will hear God in this, if you will hear Him saying, I long to give you everything you ask for. But I need you to deal with this. I need you to cancel their debt. If you will take this serious, a level of freedom will come to you you've never experienced. So Lord, I ask you that you give the people courage. Sometimes it's hurtful. It's hurtful to go back and rehearse these things and see what happened to you. Some of you people have stuffed it. Please hear me. Don't stuff it. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to you no matter how gruesome and terrible it is, so that you can say out your mouth, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I pray that every person here would have courage. And Lord, when we come back in here next week, let there be such an aroma, such a sweet-smelling savor that arises in this place because the people have released and canceled the debts. Ah. Come on, I see it. I see people just bringing up names and laying the papers with the names on them down and saying, paid in full. I see it. I see people walking into this place and dropping the names and saying, now I release them. They're free. Cancel. Paid in full. Father, I bless you and I honor you. I thank you, Lord, that some of you need to forgive current spouses. folks, we're all just trying to do what we know to do. And we live under pressure, and we need to forgive. Please carry what's going on in this room into your week. Have the courage to say, Lord, show me. Some of you have been in relationships with the opposite sex that have really damaged your self-esteem. Man, Jesus is moving in here. You need to forgive them. They called you names and stuff like that. They said bad things to you. You need to forgive them. Father, I ask you that from this moment, I'm just going to say what I feel. I thank you, Lord, that from this moment, spouses will be found. Lord, I thank you that there are people in this room that are searching for their spouse. But if they'll fully forgive other relationships, that you'll cause them to see clearly the mate that you have for them. Bless you, Father. I seal this time in you.